On Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. It's Xavier, and this is a special report of Connect the Goddamn Dots, a news and issues program on Free Radio Santa Cruz. I just got off the phone with attorney Peter Frank of the National Lawyers Guild Committee on Democratic Communications. This is in regards to the recent decision handed down by Judge Claudia Wilkins against Free Radio Berkeley. The two previous decisions by her were kind of temporary, and she had ruled in our favor, and this last round here doesn't look like it was very good. So I'm going to go to the interview right now. I have a particularly nasty cold right now, so that noise that you hear in the interview that sounds like a steam locomotive, that's actually me. Try to bear with me on this. Hello, this is Xavier from Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I have with me Peter Frank, working on the Free Radio Berkeley case. As you know, Judge Claudia Wilkins has just come down with a decision against Free Radio Berkeley. Wanted to ask you, what is the gist of the latest ruling from Judge Claudia Wilkins?
Okay, just for identification, I'm one of the lawyers from the National Lawyers Guild Committee of Democratic Communications that's been doing a lot of work on these cases. Judge Wilkins granted the government's motion for summary judgment and issued an injunction against Stephen Dunifer and all parties in concert with him from broadcasting. She ruled basically that he did not have standing, legal term, to challenge the FCC's regulations. In this case, that the unconstitutionality of the regulations, which is our very strong position, we believe the ban on low-power radio is very unconstitutional under the First Amendment, couldn't be raised as a defense to this injunction for broadcasting without a license.
Okay. Now, what is the ramifications for Free Radio Berkeley, and I guess by extension other free radio stations in her jurisdiction?
Well, the injunction does not apply to other stations directly. The potential ramification is that the government has a number of weapons that they've tried to use to shut down stations, one of which would be to go to court and get an injunction. I think this action was filed 4 years ago, and at first she refused an injunction because she saw that our constitutional arguments had merit.
Mm-hmm.
I think this means that if the government wanted to get an injunction against somebody else, it certainly wouldn't take them 4 years. It wouldn't come very quickly.
Okay. It was my understanding, this may be incorrect, that in Judge Claudia Wilkins'
jurisdiction, there were the other free radio stations were somewhat in a better position in regards to not being rated by the FCC because it would have been considered like a contempt of court. Is that incorrect?
I think it wouldn't have been considered contempt of court, but I think what you're saying is basically correct for two reasons. One is that I think there was reluctance on the government's part to move on stations here while this case was pending. Secondly, if the government wanted to seize the equipment, they had to go to a federal judge for an order.
I see.
If they went to the federal court in this district, that would have gone to the same judge because they send related cases to the same judges because they know what the issues are.
Mm-hmm.
And they may well have felt that she would be reluctant to issue such an order while she was considering this case.
Okay. What are your plans? Is this something you can speak about in regards to a response to this latest decision?
Our plans are to figure out what to do next.
Okay.
We're considering it. We only got the opinion, came over the fax machine at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So we're studying it and we're considering what to do next.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to say in closing? Or?
Well, I think the important thing that everybody needs to remember is that from the time when Dunnifer went on the air with just his little radio in the hills behind Berkeley to now, the micro radio movement has grown to over 1,000 stations, and the FCC has been forced to open a rulemaking proceeding where they are formally asking for public comment and considering changing these rules. And one of the very important things that we're working on, and we would urge everybody to get involved in, is pressuring the FCC to change the rules to allow a non-commercial, locally owned, low-power service.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to get information about that, they can go to a webpage, Radio for All, the word radio, the number four, the word all, no punctuation, all run together, .org, and click on Micro Radio News. There's a lot of information there, and we would urge people to really bring pressure on the FCC to change the rules. And we're finding that if local institutions, churches, labor unions, even city councils are getting into the act, join in that, that this rulemaking proceeding is probably where we can win this one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, something else that had occurred to me, I should probably mention this. Free radio stations across the country, as I understand it, advisable that they link up with a sympathetic local attorney who is willing to come up to speed in this type of law. There's a website. It's what 368 Hayes.
Yeah, website. The street address of Dunnifer's personal lawyer, Luke Hyken, 368 Hayes. Dot. I'm not sure if it's com or org, but a Yahoo.
Com. Yeah, it's com.
So the briefs are there. The way we've been trying to get legal defense for people is exactly what you said, to have people find sympathetic local lawyers. They're going to find that nobody knows FCC law.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got all the briefs and legal papers and so on up on these web pages, and we try to work with local lawyers advising them. There's a major case been filed by Still This Radio, which is a station in New York, challenging much more broadly than Dunnifer did the whole regulatory and statutory scheme. And the first plaintiff in that case was somebody whose name is Free Speech, so the name of this case is Free Speech versus Reno.
Okay.
So there are other cases going on which are challenging these rules.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. This has been Xavier with Free Radio Santa Cruz speaking with Peter Frank of the. Are you involved with the National Lawyers Guild? Is that, that's
yeah,
your
I'm chair of the National Lawyers Guild Committee on Democratic Communications.
Great.
And for following the story and for doing a microphone.
Hey, there you have it, Peter Frank from the National Lawyers Guild Committee on Democratic Communications. I also have another interview here with Captain Fred from Free Radio Berkeley. Get his thoughts on the recent decision that has come down from Judge Claudia Wilkins. This is June the 17th, 1998. This came down yesterday, the 16th.
This is Xavier from Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm on the phone here with Captain Fred from Free Radio Berkeley. We had a situation. I was listening to a real audio feed for Free Radio Berkeley last night, and it appears that Judge Claudia Wilkin has ruled unfavorably recently, and we get Captain Fred's ideas on this.
Okay. Yeah, this is Captain Fred saying we're heartbroken and we're pissed as hell. And we thought Claudia Wilkin was actually a supporter of Free Radio Berkeley, but now she's sort of jumped ship, as it were, and kind of let us down here. But we have decided to voluntarily go off the air, mainly in the interest of not getting our equipment ripped off by the FCC. And we do intend to continue our feed on the World Wide Web at the www.freeradio.org. And we're looking at other possible ways to resume broadcasting. And we had an exhausting meeting with our lawyers last evening, and then we had an emergency meeting of the volunteers at Free Radio Berkeley.
What actually went on there at that meeting? Can you talk about that at all?
Oh, well, there was some screaming and yelling and arguing, but after a while we got down to setting an agenda and discussing things like, well, do we keep broadcasting or do we stop broadcasting, and what sort of risk are people at? There were some hypothetical questions that were being tossed at Alan Hopper and Peter Frank from the National Lawyers Guild, and they were doing their best to give us accurate answers to our questions. And it was a really long meeting. I couldn't stay for the whole thing. So, but what I've found out after the fact that is that the group decided to turn off the transmitter temporarily in the interest of hanging on to our stuff.
I see. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, it's my impression that in the past the SEC has, in this Bay Area here, they have actually, with this prior, Judge Claudia Wilkin's prior, basically not granting the FCC the injunction in the past, the SEC had still rated a few stations. Is that correct?
Well, I can tell you that enforcement by the FCC has stepped up quite a bit, particularly since the NAB meeting, which was last month in Las Vegas, where basically the NAB gave their marching orders to the FCC, which basically is what they're to do, and that was to go out and shut those pirates down. So that's what they've been doing, and it's either getting visits or written notices or just out and out invasions all over America right now.
Okay, yeah, I was concerned about maybe the possibility that we as free radio, people in the free radio movement might want to network and watch each other's back doors, as it were, if there's any suggestions on how we can help each other in that respect.
Okay, well, one thing that has been put forth, Pete Tredish from Radio Mutiny in Philadelphia came up with the idea of a bust response network. And the idea is here is that, well, basically an injury to one is an injury to all, so that when one free radio station gets harassed by the FCC, the idea is that everybody else in the movement should immediately start writing and phoning and faxing the FCC in Washington, D.C., and letting them know how we really don't appreciate this harassment of free radio by the FCC. Now, if you want more information about this Bust Response Network and how it's set up and how to get involved, you want to go to a website called www.radioforall.org.
The next question I would have is in regards to, I guess, the real audio feed. It's not on right now. Are you just basically rewiring things to connect directly to the web, or how's that going to work?
I don't know.
Okay.
We have, basically, we have an ISDN phone line in our studio, so conceivably we could patch our audio through the ISDN over to the internet service provider, we're going to need our tech wizards to work on that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I do hope that at some point you can get back on the air, because that definitely is a democratizing effect, being able to just go down to the local thrift shop, Salvation Army, and get a portable FM radio and tune in. You don't have to have an internet connection and expensive computer equipment. So, but yeah, you do what you got to do.
Right, and well, we realize people all over America are looking to Free Radio Berkeley as sort of the flagship of the whole free radio movement. So we don't want to let all those people down out there. So we're going to get back on as soon as we can and spread the word. And you know, thanks for your support, Xavier, for showing up at our conference this past weekend and all that you do. We appreciate it.
Okay, and thank you. And yeah, it was a lot of fun up there. I appreciate you taking the time to do this interview with me. And support goes out to you. Good luck.
Okay, all you folks down in Santa Cruz listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, you want to support that station, get behind them.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Captain Fritt.
All right, peace.
Bye.
On Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Yep, there you have it. Judge Claudia Wilkins. His history of this is that about 3.5 years ago, the FCC tried to get an injunction against Stephen Dunifer of Free Radio Berkeley not to broadcast. And Judge Claudia Wilkins basically told the FCC, no, these guys aren't interfering with anyone. You, the FCC, need to address the free speech issues. This went on, she ruled twice in our favor. And now just yesterday, June 16th, 1998, she came up with her final decision, ruling in favor of the FCC. I don't know, really understand why she did it. It's the trouble with, in our system of law in our country, that you can't really go and interview a judge and say, hey, why did you do that? Who knows? Maybe she got afraid that she was getting her neck out there a little too far. This is my own personal opinion here. This is not the opinion of Free Radio Santa Cruz or Free Radio Berkeley, obviously. You know, it could have been the National Broadcasting Association got to her moneyed interests. Who knows? Maybe there's something down the pike coming along. You know, the FCC did basically talk out both sides of their face. They were sucking up to the moneyed interests in the National Association of Broadcasters. They said, yeah, we're cracking down on these pirates. We've only got 100 left. Well, that's lies. There's quite a few more than 400, I think, in the last I checked. 400 to 1,000, we estimate. Then on the other side, the head of the FCC was saying, well, maybe we do need to look at this. So maybe there was some secret dealings. Who knows? They judge found in the FCC's favor. Maybe they're going to come back and throw a bone at us. We'll see. But watch your ass. Who knows what this means? Okay, I'm going to get out of here. Thanks for listening. Connect the goddamn dots. It's a news special on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Good night.